This is Jordan Berry from the Pittsburgh Steelers, and you're listening to Australia's best NFL podcast, The Woot and Why Show.
This is the Woot and Why podcast, talking all things NFL. Now here's your hosts, Woot and Why.
Welcome back to another episode of Woot and Why. It is the 12th of September, 2015. What about that intro, Mr. Why, to open the show?
We've got an NFL player introducing the number one NFL podcast in Australia, the Woot and Why Show. Happy to have Jordan on board, and we speak to him later on in the episode after his NFL debut.
Yep, we're recording from the Radio Hub studios today.
Yeah, Silky helping us out here, and it's awesome to be here. Hopefully the sound quality is a little bit better. We had a mishap on our last episode. I forgot to edit out Billy barking in the background and carrying on. So, you know, a bit more of a professional feel from here on out.
Yeah.
So I hope that doesn't, turn people off, because I thought our unprofessionalism was a little bit charming.
Yeah, it was. That's what I thought, got the listeners, not our content, more the banter.
And bad sound quality.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, but what about this? Football is back. Football is upon us. We'll get to that later, the Steelers-Patriots season opener, but how good is it to have football back in our lives, meaningful football?
It's awesome. So many storylines from the first game already. It's terrific.
There's stacks of storylines just from one game. It's crazy. We'll recap all the latest news, talk Patriots-Steelers, talk to Jordan Berry, and then we're going to talk some daily fantasy. We finally got it down under.
Yeah, it's exciting.
Through moneyball.com.au. You can also, you know, check our Twitter feed, Facebook feed, and on our website for our vanity URL, which is just Woot and Why. So if you sign up through us, kick us a little something, and then come in and take us on.
Yeah, I spent far too long messing around on Moneyball.
It's addictive. I finished 16th on the Thursday night one. I went with Amendola over Edelman, and it cost me. I would have probably got a prize.
Yeah,
I mean, but I was right on Deion Lewis.
Yeah, that's the thing. Yeah, and then I was wrong on Big Ben. Yep. I thought he was gonna, have a big game. I thought the Patriots would run it a bit more.
Yeah.
Oh well.
And just a reminder that this episode we're not previewing all the games on Monday. We've already done that in our previous show, so go back and listen to that. The sound quality isn't good, but the content's still okay. But now we'll just head into some NFL news. All right, we'll start in the Bay Area, and fellow San Francisco 49er Aldon Smith has signed with the Raiders on a one-year contract. The money isn't really important, but it is a lot of roster bonuses for sacks and game appearances.
Huge news.
It's crazy that he chose the Raiders over the Jags, Rams, Bucks, and he still hasn't had his suspension or anything laid down by the NFL.
Yeah, it's interesting
one. It hasn't been resolved.
I think it must have been something to do with the Bay Area. If he didn't want to venture too far away from
from his life.
Yeah, exactly. I think that must have played a huge factor in all this. Especially when you consider the other teams that were mentioned and things like that. Imagine the Rams front seven
without on Smith. Yeah. Gee whiz!
I know, it's terrifying now.
It is. But what about the duo of Khalil Mack and Aldon Smith?
I love it. It's exciting.
Man, this is the best thing to happen to Oakland in a long, long, long time.
Well, it all depends on also the suspension length and what happens. But I mean, if that's all, if he, it's a big if, but if, he does get back on track and things like that, Raiders.
Yeah. Yeah. Look, his suspension might be like 4 games or 6 games. It could be longer, but if you, if you've shown that faith in that and mentally as well, because the issue with him was his mental problems and his, his health, his mental health. If he can turn his life around and make sure that he's switched on in that regard, long term, if he's happy at the Raiders, you've got him for the next few years. He's still young, Khalil Mack's young. He's still kept in shape. Apparently, Oakland actually want him to play this weekend.
Yeah, which so all that we didn't think he was going to play all season pops out of nowhere, and now he possibly play week one depending on his conditioning.
Does that change your tip?
But.
If you got Aldon Smith and Khalil Mack against Andy Dalton, I don't know. Like Oakland, you know, in the black hole, I don't know. Could
crazy things have happened.
It's week one. It could be an upset.
Yeah. It's not enough, I don't think, yet.
Nah.
Not just yet.
Nah. But I just think, like, the Raiders aren't as bad as people think. I think they've built up a solid team, a solid roster that's, you know, going places. They've built through the draft the right way. Reggie McKenzie cops a lot of heat, but I think he's doing okay.
Yeah, no. I think he's doing great things.
All right, we'll move on.
Yep. The Browns have added yet another running back to their stable of boys, claiming Robert Turbin off the waivers from the Seahawks. But Turbin's still nursing a high ankle sprain and won't be ready for at least 4 to 6 weeks.
Yeah, well, they traded Terrence West to the Titans, or the Titans, whatever you want to call them.
The Titans.
And, yeah, so, look, the Browns waived quarterback turn receiver Terrell Pryor to add Robert Turbin. This move baffles me, to be honest. Does Robert Turbin present that much more upside than Duke Johnson and Isaiah Crowell? And then you have to waive Terrell Pryor, who at least has athletic upside and could be something. Their wide receiver core is terrible. I don't know. This is such a Browns move. This is why they never are good.
It's just a Brown move.
It's just such a Browns move. It's not even a good move, in my opinion.
I think that...
IMO. Sorry, my opinion.
IMO? In my
I'm just trying to shorten the time.
Well, you've made it longer.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that Calvin Pryor.
Terrell Pryor.
Yeah, he for what he did in preseason, like I feel like he did well. Not like obviously to break into the starting.
Yeah, wide receiver he was place. Injured, but he showed glimpses in camp. That was all the reports that he was showing stuff. I don't know.
He physique and athleticism wise, he has it. It's just a matter of
getting healthy.
Changing position is such a huge and bold career move.
Yeah.
But
he had to do it because his future as a quarterback wasn't, you know, cemented. Yeah. But look, Robert Turbin to me is just a guy. He's a Jag. It's not that much of an upside. I know there was concerns with Duke Johnson's health, but look, he's fine and he's ready to go. So signing a player that won't be ready for 4 to 6 weeks and waiving someone, look, watch Terrell Pryor wind up in New England or something and be good with Tom Brady throwing him the football.
Yeah.
It just happened. It's just such a Cleveland thing. All right, we'll move on from a bad organization to a slightly better organization in the Cincinnati Bengals. They locked up AJ Green to a 4-year, $60 million extension through 2019. That puts him in the level with Dez and Demaryius. Thoughts on that?
No, you pay him. I have no problem with that. You pay the man.
Yeah. I have a simple philosophy when it comes to salary contracts in the NFL. When you have a stud, you pay him.
Yep.
I don't care how much that is, and we'll get to that now. With Eli Manning, he signed a 4-year, $84 million extension.
Yeah, that was it wasn't the highest contract in the league, as many reports started out as.
I think it's below Russell, but above Phillip Rivers.
Which is where he is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think Phillip Rivers and him are on the same tier, but look, what's like a couple of million a year when you're paying, when you got a franchise quarterback?
That's a Super Bowl tax. You won Super Bowls, you get paid more.
I like that.
Yeah, you like that?
Yeah, that's good analysis, Woot. Stepping up your game.
Thanks, mate.
All right, I'll move on to some better news. The Colts signed Anthony Costanzo to a 4-year, $42 million contract extension through 2019.
I'll ask you about this.
Oh, man, I'm...
chuffed.
I'm stoked. Look, he's such an underrated left tackle, and I think they're very hard to come by. You see Eric Fisher, Luke Jokel, you know, players like that. You know, high round picks not panning out. Costanzo was a first round pick later in the draft. I think still underrated. He was the 12th highest, you know, tackle in the grade out of 84 players last year by Pro Football Focus. You got Andrew Luck there. You need someone to protect him. And I think, you know, the Colts and Luck trust Costanzo.
Yeah, no, if you've got the trust of your quarterback, you sign him.
And he looks really good without any clothes on in ESPN Body Magazine.
Wow. All right, moving on. This is big money here. Luke Kuechly and Marcel Darius sign monster deals. Luke Kuechly to a 5-year, $62 million extension through to 2020. The contract averages $12.4 million a season, which is almost $2 million more than Bobby Wagner's previous.
Wow! And Bobby Wagner's was considered high.
I know that was.
But you know, Bobby Wagner plays in a defense where there's a lot of studs, so maybe it's a little bit discounted to stay in a really, you know, friendly system.
Yep. Then on to Marcel Darius. Bills signed Darius to a 6-year, $108 million deal extension through to 2021. That is that's monster.
Massive, especially when he's been he's suspended for the first week, and he has, you know, a history of substance abuse policy violations.
Oh, he still looks good. He's still looks great.
You know, I know that. I just said pay your studs, and that's look. Keekly's worth every cent, man. He has had 502 tackles since entering the league in 2012.
Well done, Panthers.
Yeah, like I don't find tackles as a reliable stat, but because it's just, you know, what about missed tackles? It's more the percentages, but like he's just a ball hawk and he's always there.
He's sideline to sideline.
Yeah, he's an east-west linebacker, and that's what you want. And Darius, look, when you've got a trio of Mario Williams, Jerry Hughes, and Darius signed, you know, long-term, you're going to be competitive. You just hope the Bills can hit on and find a quarterback in that time.
It's also a way of Bills showing, you know, we're here for you as well. So it's kind of a support for Darius as well.
Yeah, I guess. And look, if you sign a monster deal, and I think getting that out of the way now, you can switch his focus immediately to football in starting week two. I'm kind of glad he's not playing week one. starting to feel a little bit nervous about the old Buffalo Bills taking on my Colts in week one.
No problem.
Yeah. All right. We'll move on to my Colts. The Cleveland Browns announced Friday that they've traded defensive end Billy Winn, great name, Billy Winn, to the Colts in exchange for a conditional late round 2017 draft pick. For me, Winn's a quality run defender, and it's something the Colts needed after losing Arthur Jones to IR, who had a really good preseason. So
that was
that's a huge blow.
That was a loss.
It's another Grigson sort of signing that hasn't quite panned out. That one not sort of, you know, in the Colts' hands there. That was just pure injury. So now they've traded for C.O. Moore, and then they signed Trent Cole and Kendall Langford. We've got a new front seven. We're starting rookies Henry Anderson and David Parry. David Parry got compared to Kyle Williams by Lance Zierlein on NFL.com this week.
I'll see.
I'm really
excited to see him.
Yeah, David Parry has moved ahead of Craig Parry in my Parry power ranking.
Oh, my God. You're dropping some weird lines today, Wally.
In a good mood, mate. I'm heading to the Chocolate Festival later today. Everything's coming up Millhouse this weekend. It's going great.
Yeah, plus the sound quality is just making...
I don't know about you, but I feel like I've grown a few inches sitting in this studio here at Radio Hub. It's sensational.
All right, well, you can't get any shorter, buddy. Cam Chancellor has told the NFL Network he would end his holdout if the Seahawks meet him halfway on his contract demands. Cam's going to see that the Seahawks are going to be winning without him. They're going to see that they traded for Kelce McRae. They're going to see that. I think he's going to start feeling left out. And if they're winning without him, he's going to, you know, regret holding out, and he's just going to come back. He's not getting paid.
He's not getting extra money. He's just asking for money to be pushed forward a year.
It's not going to win.
If the Seahawks budge, it's setting a dangerous precedent, because then Michael Bennett would try it, Earl Thomas would try it, Richard Sherman could try it, and then ultimately they have no money. They're banking on the salary cap going up, so that's why they've back-ended their deals.
Yeah, no.
It's silly.
Seattle's playing this game correctly. Chancellor's going to break down.
Yeah, good organizations always handle these situations perfectly. You see Bill Belichick handle them always, you know, with the best response. And look, Chancellor's a huge loss, because, you know, I heard on Andrew Siciliano on around the NFL said that Cam Chancellor actually is the lead dog and keeps all these defenders' egos in check, because he is, you know, such a figurehead in their locker room. So we'll see how much of an impact that, you know, that creates, especially in their run defense, because he's such a, you know, north-south safety.
He's a box stuffer. That's what he is.
All right, let's move on to the Thursday night season opener, New England Patriots 28, Pittsburgh Steelers 21. Tom Brady, 25 for 32 for 288 yards and 4 touchdowns. Rob Gronkowski had 3 of them and 94 yards. And Deion Lewis, out of the league last year, hasn't had a touch for like a year and a half, racked up 120 yards on 19 touches. He did have a red zone fumble, though.
I know. Fumble turned touchdown, which is great. And everyone just saw it as another, you know, Gronk being Gronk and being dominant as he is. Belichick doesn't like fumbles, though.
No, Stephen Ridley. And look, Jonas Gray got dropped after having, you know, 300 yards, 200 yards and 4 touchdowns on the ground against the, you know, powerhouse. So...
Blount didn't look great in preseason either, and Deion Lewis came in and he played well.
I think Deion Lewis showed a lot in the passing game. I think he'll stay. I think he'll play that Shane Vereen role.
Yeah, so that's how I'm kind of beginning to feel about it as well. I think and also Bolden had his chances in the red zone, didn't do a thing.
Yeah, Bolden just didn't look good to me at all. Look, they did start a lot of rookies on the offensive line, so maybe, you know, a big back like Bolden and Blount will benefit later on in the season when that line starts to develop and they get more trust and can create, you know, bigger gaps. But
Bolden did make a good block, though, to save Brady.
Yeah, I did. Was that on the touchdown play?
No,
it was. The second Gronk one. Bolden had a great pass protection.
That was a big pass rush coming Brady's way.
And that was the one time Pittsburgh actually had pass rush. We'll get to them in a minute. But, yeah, for me, I just want to talk about Rob Gronkowski. Seriously.
Yep.
You know,
so like besides quarterbacks and, you know, running backs, and then when you start talking about the best players in the NFL, JJ and Gronk are just them.
It's, you need to talk about Gronk in the same breath as the best player, the single best player in the NFL. I know quarterbacks are inherently more valuable. They play a tougher position and they're always going to be, you know, MVPs, but Gronk needs to receive votes. I know it's week one, but this dude, if he goes down, the Patriots offense is a totally different thing. Edelman can't get open because Gronk isn't there to, you know, create space, especially in the red zone. You just put Gronk out wide and then you either have to trust someone one-on-one or you need to move someone and it creates space for someone else.
I don't think, I'm not sure if Steelers have watched tape on Gronkowski.
Oh man, there's so many.
But I think they, I don't know what their game plan was, but they just thought, oh, I don't think they'll pass it to
Gronk. What
were
they saying during the week? They were going to jam him and they were going to,
I don't know what they were all sorts. Really were. Gronk just running up the middle. Just they double teamed him at one stage, and he just breezed past him for the touchdown.
He's the best tight end I've ever seen.
Yeah, well, I mean,
I have no qualms. And no, I've watched Tony Gonzalez. I love Tony Gonzalez. Shannon Sharpe's another good one. But Gronk,
Jimmy Graham during that big season,
he's just so dominant. He just takes over a game. And we mentioned Deion Lewis as well. I think Gronk and having that receiving back is brutal for Brady. At this point in his career, he isn't a deep thrower. I think 19 of his 25 completions were within 9 yards of the line of scrimmage. He's got that sort of Alex Smith sort of vibe, I feel, watching that. But I know you're shaking your head at me. But
it's just a dumb comment. It is just dumb.
No, I just think that having Gronk and Deion Lewis, having that receiving back, I think Vereen played a huge role in the Super Bowl. You know, deep throws isn't Brady's forte. It hasn't been for years. So I think if Deion Lewis, you know, if he can get over that fumble and sticks around, I think he could be not a bad stash in your fantasy lineups. Would you agree?
I don't know about that yet. Jury's still out on New England running backs for me.
All right, we'll move on to the offensive side of the ball. Ben Roethlisberger had 26 of 38 for 350 yards, a touchdown and interception. D'Angelo Williams had his first 100-yard rushing performance, his first since 2013.
The old boy still got it.
He does, still got it. And Antonio Brown rewarded his fantasy owners with 9 catches, 133 yards, and a garbage time touchdown. Thoughts on the Steelers' offense?
To be honest, despite the scoreline and things like that, they played well with the weapons they had. I think no Bryant and no Bell. It was brutal without them too. It just shows you how much they needed, despite Williams playing really well and Brown being Brown.
And look, and you got no Pouncey as well. And the Lions still made a lot of holes for D'Angelo Williams. So you bring Pouncey back and then add Le'Veon Bell. This offense is going to be firing on all cylinders. And then look, that game could have been a lot closer. Like you see Darius Heyward Bey in the end zone put his foot out of bounds. If that was a touchdown, you know, it's game on and it's, you know, we're going okay.
Heath Miller played a big role.
Yeah, I thought he would. I played him in a lot of lineups because of no Martavis Bryant and no Le'Veon Bell.
Yeah, I'm not sure if defense is game planning for tight ends anymore.
Not last night.
No, Gronk and Miller just had field days.
Yeah, and that's something to talk about. The Steelers' defense is putrid, really. There's massive holes in their secondary. There's a lack of pass rush. It's gonna be brutal. A lot of people were high on them to win the division. I can't pick a team that's defense is that bad.
No way. No, I'm thinking back to my predictions.
You had them making the playoffs.
No,
I think they can still make the playoffs based on their offensive prowess. We saw last night, Big Ben was a quiet game. Still finished 350 yards. You know, throwing to Darius Heyward Bey and Marcus Wheaton, who had a pretty good catch. What about that Antonio Brown catch?
Wow.
man, that was awful. That was awesome. The Steelers' defense isn't much better, though. Malcolm Butler, look, he showed that he's more than a one-trick pony, but he did get schooled by Antonio Brown.
Okay, he allowed 9 out of 10 passes thrown his way.
I know, but Antonio Brown...
No, I'm not arguing. I'm just saying, and despite allowing 90% of passes thrown his way, it was just... he still had a solid game?
Yeah, it was weird. He graded terribly because of, obviously, but like Antonio Brown's catch he had to make over Malcolm Butler because Butler was covering him so well, but you can't... There's only so much you
can
do.
I think Belichick will be fine with that. Even the commentators during the broadcast mentioned Butler's just going to go from strength to strength.
Yeah, I think so. But the front seven is a concern. That was supposed to be their, you know, the strength about their defense.
Yeah, I know. I'm still not so worried about it. It's just the Patriots.
Dominic Easley's out for about 2 weeks with a hip pointer. That guy seems to be always injured. I think it's going to be interesting. But yeah, I think. Both those teams have concerns about their defense heading into week two. It was a bit of a sloppy game for the first game, considering in terms of defense, it's had a preseason vibe to it. I think they'll get better.
The rust will wear off and they'll be fine. I mean, plus the weather and things, and also just after the whole Deflategate thing, I think it's good to have the first game of Patriots out of the way now.
Yeah. What did you think about the? The intro and the pregame, T-Pain, All I Do Is Win.
Oh, I mean, it's kind of just sticking it to the NFL, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's get out the tape measure and let's measure these bad boys sort of thing. Yeah. That's what it felt like to me. But anyway, anything else from that game before we get Jordan Berry on the line, the Pittsburgh Steelers? He's going to be a Pro Bowl punter. Let's just throw that out there, put the pressure on him.
Our first player, NFL player on the podcast is going to be a Pro Bowl player. It's great.
Yeah, and he's also part of our Wooten Y wing, which is good. So solid performance from him. But let's get Jordan Berry on the line. Joining us on the line live from Pittsburgh, the Pittsburgh Steelers punter made his NFL debut last night. You can follow him on Twitter at jberryeku. Welcome to the Wooten Y Show again, Jordan Berry.
Yeah, thanks for having me on, guys.
It's a pleasure.
It's our honour.
Yes. Last night, made your debut at Gillette Stadium in the season opener. Explain to us, before you even touched the ball, what was the atmosphere like? What was the feeling like? And how did you feel, when you finally got to touch the ball for the first time?
Yeah, so obviously, first regular season game, so the atmosphere was, 100 times better than what you get in a pre-season NFL game. On top of that, it was, the season opener for the entire NFL, so there was media absolutely everywhere. The crowd were getting there early.
So the crowd was incredible, was it?
Yeah, the crowd were going nuts, and then obviously with the whole Deflategate thing, when Robert Kraft and Tom Brady and the Gronk have come running out, they've, the crowd, that's the loudest crowd I've been around in a very long time outside of sort of grand final day or anything like that. You'd never find anything like that.
Yeah, they just completely lost it.
Yeah, you heard the We Want Roger chance?
Where is Roger?
Where is Roger?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, so it's out in the middle of the field. You couldn't really sort of hear most of it. It would just kind of all blend in together. But yeah, they were pretty rowdy for most of the game.
Yeah, tell us about the conditions. I mean, Gillette Stadium's kind of known for being, ridiculously cold and things like that. It was, torrential rain last night. How did you handle that?
Yeah, the rain wasn't obviously ideal for when you're wanting to do the kicking game, but yeah, it wasn't too bad, and there wasn't a whole lot of wind. There were some strong gusts coming through, but when I was out there punting, it wasn't too bad. So only having the 2 on the 9, I was pretty happy sort of getting out of that sort of weather with a good average, pretty good hang time as well. So, yeah, I can sort of see, especially later in the year, that place there doesn't look like it'd be too inviting.
No, I don't think it is. You mentioned hang time. You finished your max hang time from Pro Football Focus was 5.21 seconds, which you'd be pretty happy about.
Yeah, so, very happy with the hang time and the distance I got on both my punts. The second one wasn't as far as the first one. They were sort of just trying to keep it a bit shorter and just try and nullify any sort of return they were going to get. But, sort of didn't quite kick it as far as I wanted, but I'm still very happy with it. Like, he'll take a 37-yard fair catch for a miss at any day of the week.
Yeah. So that was a direction from the special teams coach to make sure that punt didn't go too far, that it was designed so that it would minimize the return game.
Yeah, because once you get in the regular season, you've obviously got some very good returners out there, and if you sort of hit one of those ones with sort of a less hang time and more distance on it, you're just giving them way too much room. So obviously you want to try and keep everything under control and give your coverage guys the best opportunity to get down there and sort of stop any return they can get.
Yeah. You were saying how Gillette Stadium was just, you know, they lost it when Brady and Gronk and things came out. How did that differ from how your small college experience on game day?
Yeah, so at EKU, we usually only got about 7,000 or 8,000 people to a game. So once you get out the NFL level, it's just it's unreal, sort of just getting out there in that sort of environment. Because at EKU, we did get some good rowdy crowds from time to time, but it's a lot different because you'll be able to hear individual people yelling at the players out on the field. Whereas once you're in the NFL, all that noise just blends together and it's just a big, just solid, loud noise kind of thing.
There you go. So Gillette Stadium, you've prepared now. So you've gone into probably the toughest road game, you know, to start your career. So everything else should be a little bit easier than punting up there. Speaking of something that wasn't too easy, I guess your battle with Brad Wing would have been tough on you. You know, a fellow Australian, you mentioned that when we spoke last time. How was it battling with him towards the end in the preseason, going punt for punt, and describe your friendship? I spoke to you, straight after Brad got traded in the first, straight after you won the battle. And the first thing that you said was, you were concerned about Brad. So obviously you became, you know, quite good friends.
Yeah. So obviously working together for almost 6 months, yeah. Sort of do build that sort of relationship together. You know, the specialists was me and the Greg Warren, the snapper, Brad, as well as the kickers that we had at the time. You know, you're spending all day together, so you obviously want to make sure that they're getting a job as well. Because obviously in this business, someone's going to have to lose out. But for him to be able to go on and pick up another starting job in week one is obviously really awesome. So. For the situation we got given, I feel like we came out of it pretty well.
Yeah, it's a win-win for Australia, really, getting both of you in the NFL.
Yep.
A lot's been made about your journey into the NFL and how you were working at McDonald's to fund your way back there to give the NFL another shot. What advice can you give punters out there in playing college that have NFL aspirations?
Yeah, so it's a long, hard slog. Most guys don't make it on their first or sometimes even their second year out of college. It's something you've got to really want to do and just have to really focus on it. You know, just for me, I was lucky to have a good support group with the family, as well as Nathan and John from Pro Kick Australia, putting all their time and effort into me, sort of helping me out so that I could just, you know, work and as soon as I got off my shift, go and train with somebody and be in that good environment to be able to push me forward and get to where I am now.
Yeah, we're actually heading down to a Pro Kick tryout in a couple of weeks. We've been invited by Nathan and the boys. Any advice for us? For us, I've got a shocking leg. I'm going to fail miserably, but I think Woot has a pretty decent leg. So any advice for us just to head down there? It should be a good day.
Oh, really? When you're starting out, you just got to have some fun. A lot of guys will get down there and really focus on, you know, just trying to be perfect. And when you're first starting out, that's not going to be possible. So. Yeah, get out there and have a bit of fun.
Yeah. We're not expecting perfection.
No. I think that's what the aim is for us to have some fun. So I think that should be some really,
Yeah, Nathan
fun.
Just told us to bring our boots.
Told us to bring our boots. So we might take a couple of mics down there and interview some of the tryouts and see how they go and see how they feel. So now that you're based in Pittsburgh, when we last spoke, you know, you weren't sure if you're going to, you know, be there long term. What's Jordan Berry doing in Pittsburgh? Have you found a place? Have you, you know, what's the life like in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania?
Yeah, so today just got my first game check and went and picked up the keys from an apartment, all that sort of stuff. So
nice.
Yeah,
starting to get my life sort of settled out here in Pittsburgh. So
yeah.
Obviously looking forward to just working out the town and getting settled in.
Berry Mansion somewhere.
Berry Mansion, the Berry Manor. any of your teammates?
I'm not going anything too crazy just yet.
No. That's right. No, any of your teammates, anything, you know, over the preseason, any funny stories about some of the big names, players in the Pittsburgh Steelers that some of our Australian listeners might find very intriguing?
No, not really. I sort of haven't. The specialists, we kind of stick to ourselves. We don't really spend a ton of time with everybody else. But yeah, there hasn't really been anything out of the ordinary that you wouldn't see at any other sort of footy club. That's one of the things, you know, although it's the NFL, it is still just guys playing football. So, you know, you get to halftime, they're still pulling out the sliced up oranges for everyone. So, yeah. You know, it's although there's a lot of money, it's still the same thing.
Was there any rookie hazing?
Not really. They're pretty good about that around here. I'm just trying to think. I know a few of the position groups will make guys get a breakfast and dinner and stuff during the week. So I know I have to bring a whole bunch of breakfast sandwiches one day, but yeah, so obviously I've heard some stories from some college teams and they're far worse than anything that they do here.
No unexpected haircuts like we see on Hard Knocks?
No, definitely not that over here.
Yeah.
I mean, you don't have that much hair to really cut into it.
Your NFL photo is something shocking, Jordan. It's not very
They pulled us up. Yeah, pulled us up about 7 in the morning and sat us down in the chair here, throw this jersey on, really quick photo. So I smiled for a couple of them, and they did the straight face on one, and they've gone with that, and it doesn't look great.
Happy to be here, and he's got this straight face.
Just a straight face, blank stare. Did you know there's already a Facebook fan group page for you?
Yeah, the guy who set that up, he actually sent me a message the other day, let me know he'd done it, so... I actually haven't had a look yet, but I'll have to go check it out.
Yeah, no, he also has bought a jersey, Jordan Berry 4 jersey as well. So he just wanted to let you know that there are people supporting you down here. It's not all Jared Hayne mania, that there is some support going to the punters. You are people as well.
The family's been getting around it, so I just got my brothers out with a couple of jerseys here now. I've sort of made the job, so yeah, they're looking forward to him.
Yeah, speaking about Jared Hayne, what are your thoughts on him? How do you feel he's gone and will go?
Sorry, you just cut out there. I couldn't quite hear that.
Oh, sorry. I said, carrying on from Jared Hayne, how do you think he's gone in his preseason games, and how do you think he'll go and fit in with the 49ers?
Yeah, so from what I've seen of him, especially on the punt and kick returns, he looks like he's been doing really well. So that's an area he can definitely sort of make his mark in the NFL. And then sort of in the running back sort of stuff, he has obviously made a few great plays, but once you get into sort of that starting group, that's a lot different animal than, you know, sort of sitting in the preseason with a few other guys. So, you know, if they do decide to give him a run, I'd be very interested to see how it goes. He's obviously done an amazing effort up to this point, and hopefully he can continue to build on the gains that he has made.
Yeah, week two, 49ers and the Steelers actually, go up against each other, and you might be punting too, Jared. So how's that going to how are you going to, target that whole
that dilemma? It's Aussie right now. Jordan's going to have a layer.
Yeah, you're going to try to kick it out of bounds and not let him, or you're going to do it for Australia and give him a nice, easy one.
I don't know. We'll see. We'll wait for their game this weekend to see what they're running and see what their coach has got lined up for us tactic-wise, and yeah, just go from there.
What a storyline that is. That's great.
Yeah, it'll be awesome. Although, all jokes aside, when you have a player like Hayne or a Devin Hester or a Tyler Lockett back there returning punts, when you know someone's an elite returner, do you change your strategy, or are you coached differently to try and avoid that? Is there a way you'd rather just kick it dead for a touchback and, rather than pin them down? Or is there a certain strategy when you're kicking to elite players like that?
From my experience through college and sort of what I've gathered so far since being here in the NFL is they just want you to try and play it a little bit safer against those guys, especially, in college I've had a few players who are, ranked number one, number two returners in the NCAA. And yeah, in those games, you just play it a little bit safer, kick them shorter, kick them higher, and just make sure they can't get a return.
Anything else for Jordan before we let him go?
No, just congratulations on getting your first game out of the way.
It was a solid performance. That first punt, 50 yards, pinned it down right inside the 20. Amendola, would have got stopped if it went for that flag as well. So I think it was a pretty good punting display last night, I think. And the second-rated punter all preseason. So absolutely destroyed it.
And coming out in your debut at Gillette Stadium in that environment after Deflategate, man, you handled yourself well.
You didn't have a Josh Scooby
game.
Thanks, yeah, no, anyway, so, yeah, that's, yeah, congrats on the debut, and, good luck next week. We, between me and you, Wood, I hope Jordan gets one up on Jared next week.
Yeah, I kind of hope you just pin him down the corner.
Yeah.
Yeah, just try and shut him down.
Thank you very much for joining us. As always, you can follow him on Twitter at jberryeku. Thanks again, Jordan. Champion, we really appreciate you coming on.
Yeah.
And joining us.
All right, no problem, guys. Thanks for having me.
Thanks, mate.
How good was that? Jordan Berry, back on the podcast again. Such a nice guy.
Oh, I love him.
He's great.
Fastly becoming. Let's get Jordan Berry jerseys.
Yeah.
Yep. Let's join. I think Sean's the guy behind the appreciation Facebook page. He's bought a jersey. I think we should
join in appreciation.
Yeah, I think we should get Jordan in the studio. You know, at the end of the season, and we can interview him in our Jordan Berry jerseys.
Yeah, that'll be a real fangirl kind of stuff. But that's
that's cool. No, but you know, as I said when we first interviewed him, when I started writing for US Sport Down Under, and that draft class came out. You know, all the talk was about his pro kick colleague in Tom Hornsey, Ray Guy winner. I spoke to Jordan and he was such a nice guy then, and he talked about at length the college system and the draft process for him coming from a small school. And yeah,
he was positive about all the Australian prospects.
Yeah, he's just, and the first thing, you know, after the game against Buffalo, he had five punts and Brad Wing only got one. It just worked out that way because he punted the first half and Brad in the second. I said, oh man, nice performance, you know, five good punts. And he just said, man, I feel so bad for Brad. And he got one punt. And I was just like, man, you know, you care so much about your competition. You know, such a nice guy.
Yeah. All right. Moving on to Daily Fantasy Sports, as we mentioned at the top of the show.
Yes.
Moneyball.com.au
have
finally brought the NFL Daily Fantasy scene down under.
Yeah, I think that's it's accurate. They've been doing NRL and AFL all year.
And EPL.
And EPL.
Yeah.
So it's good to it's good for them to branch out. They're doing NBA as well. So we've got a Vanity URL. So we'll post that on our Twitter page, but it's just basically moneyball.com.au/wootandy1.
Yeah.
So log on to that.
Like, to try to describe it to people that aren't familiar with it.
Yeah, explain it. You've been playing when you were in America. With your cousin on FanDuel. explain how it all works to people that aren't too familiar with it.
Well, essentially, it's a bit different to your regular fantasy competitions where you have a draft at the start of the season and, you know, you stick out with that team. You have a salary cap and you pick players and you just try to fill your team under that salary cap. You have the same set positions as you do in a standard format fantasy league, but this is it.
Only for 1 week too.
Yeah, it's weekly. So just say if you were to have your regular draft and you went, damn it, I really wanted Aaron Rodgers in my team. You can put Aaron Rodgers in your team every week in daily fantasy. So that's
it'll cost you about $9,700 this week,
which is the top quarterback price, right? Yeah. So anyway, he'll cost you, but you can have him in your team every week. It's really just
look and you can put Rodgers. It's similar to a draft. You get the best one, but it means that your strength at other positions will be less.
Exactly. So it's just like a normal draft in the sense that you have to find value as well.
Yeah. So everyone's in a contest.
Yeah.
So how does that work? So, you know, once people have set their lineups, how do they win money, or, you know, how do they win?
Well, if you're familiar with fantasy, it's depending on how they score in real life, but then it's, it's just you going up against all those other people in your league. So just say if you're in a league of 20, I think it's top three places.
Yep.
It varies. It varies, I think. So I'm not 100% sure. We're new on it as well. It's only been around for, you know, 3-4 days. So, I mean, it's certainly exciting. It maybe top nine places or something like that.
Basically, you know, if
some of the bigger leagues.
If there's 50 people in the league, they've all set a lineup. Top score wins. So we did one on Thursday night. You know, you started Big Ben, I started Tom Brady, you started Brandon Bolden, I started Deion Lewis.
Yeah.
Obviously, I finished ahead of you that night. But then, you know, we start on Monday, which is the Sunday games in the States. You know, you might start Sam Bradford and I might start Brian Hoy. I don't know why, but like you would score more than me, obviously, because Sam Bradford.
He's better than Brian Hoy.
Yes, that's right. And revelations here, groundbreaking news. But, you know, so you just got to pick your team and your salary cap stuff. So obviously, you know, all your studs are going to be worth, you know, a crap load of money.
Yeah.
So
for this week, we were going to go through and talk about our value plays and things like that. But because it's week one, there's a lot of value plays this week because of the because
they'll set
the prices
ago.
Were set either week one of preseason. I think it was before preseason even began. So. Yeah. There's a lot of, you know, backup quarterbacks that were selected. For example, Tyrod Taylor
Tyrod Taylor is cheap.
His budget. I don't think you can get a price lower than him at quarterback, and he's a starting quarterback. So you
and
can
he runs.
Exactly. So you pretty much save on nearly half the price of Aaron Rodgers to get a starting quarterback who, you know, gets points with their legs. So even if your quarterbacks that generally, you know, run, just they can
chew up.
Yeah.
And make sure when you do join a contest, you check the scoring settings on the league. Most of the ones on Moneyball are half point PPR.
Yeah.
So, you know, running backs that catch passes out of the backfield are inherently more valuable to you. Rather than your pure thumpers or two down backs.
Yeah. Also, always look for the Woot and Why leagues. Try to really boost them up because we'll always have one in the lobby. So
yeah, we'll always have, and you'll be competing against people that understand it, and it's fun. And there'll be a lot of banter, and you can tweet us and on Facebook as well. So if you do get one up on us, please rub it in
all day long. I do not mind. It's great.
Woot loves the bants. He loves the banter.
I do.
So I'm happy though. My first daily fantasy league, I finished it in front of you. So I'm going to take that little small. It's all about the small wins.
You know what? If Brandon Bolden could just carry the ball over the bloody goal line, I'd be. Be laughing.
So you mentioned Tyrod Taylor is a cheapie. Amir Abdullah is another cheapie, depending on Joik Bell, how he pans out. Another cheapie is, tight end Richard Rodgers now with Andrew Qualls.
Tyler Eifert's also very low.
Very low as well.
And
so.
I like Tyler Eifert if any of the listeners listening.
Yes, he's in our Woot and Why wing. Same with Richard Rodgers. But any players you're avoiding for week one?
Avoiding? It's all dependent on value. I mean, I think it's also don't just say, oh yeah, he's a great player.
Yeah.
It's not always about
talent. It's about matchup and situation and opportunity. Player I'm avoiding in daily fantasy, probably Alfred Morris at 7-4 against Miami. No way.
Yeah. Also, when it comes to say setting your lineup, for the Sunday games in America, Monday games here. You've also got to be wary that if there's question marks for the players on the Tuesday or the Monday in America, you've got to be wary of that because it's the lineup's locked. So for example, if say Alshon Jeffrey was playing on the Tuesday, there's question marks about his availability for the game. So
you don't want to risk that.
No, you don't want to risk it. So you play the safe cards.
And even if they are playing in the early games and you set it the night before, if you do have a risky play, make sure you're willing to get up and change it before it locks out at 3 in the morning. So I don't know about you, but most people don't like getting up at 3.
It all depends on your dedication to
winning money.
Yeah, exactly.
If you're not dedicated to winning money, that's fine. We'll just take it.
Yeah, you can just send it to us.
Yeah, you could send us a check if you want. Just make it out to Woot and Why. All right, that's DFS and Moneyball Explained. So make sure you head to moneyball.com.au/WootandWhy. Sign up, deposit some money, take us on.
We've currently got a league, Woot and
It's full.
It's full?
We've got to open
I'll create another one.
We've got
right
another
now.
One. So that'll be Monday and Tuesday's games all together.
Yeah.
Which will be great. That wraps up the show. Our first show in the Radio Hub studios. Thanks to the guys here helping us. You know,
it's awesome.
Yeah. I feel good.
Loving it.
We love it. We'll be back on Saturday and we'll recap all the action from week one, including Jared Haynes' debut.
It's exciting times.
Hopefully we can give some balance and clarity rather than hysteria on issue. Hopefully he suits up. It's not a guarantee.
Jim Tomsula is really trying to downplay the hype.
Do you wonder if it's just a strategy or he got a little bit shirty about the rugby league week mole last week, jumping the gun and he thought, you know what, Molly? Stick it to you this week. I'll let everyone in Australia wait with bated breath.
Yeah, I don't know.
Although his mum is flying over there again, but again, it's not announced 2 hours before. So, Jared could, roll his ankle walking down the stairs tomorrow and be out this week. I'm not jinxing him. I'm just saying you can't put too much stock into his mum flying over there. I hope it is because he is debuting. It'd be awesome to watch him play. So,
and side note, number one selling jersey.
It's
ludicrous what's happening over there. But.
You know, when we talked about it months and months ago, and you thought, oh, yeah, it's an absolute dream scenario. Jared must sit back and go,
how did this happen?
I can't believe, 15 months ago, I was sitting on my couch playing Madden and thought, I could give this a go. Now you're the number one selling jersey. You're on Madden. And you've got, the whole of Australia just going absolutely bananas.
It's crazy. And this,
it's just a dream scenario.
Just imagine if it panned out differently and his first run, he fumbled it and they just thought, all right, he's not cut out for this. And they could have a completely different scenario could have unfolded.
And it's just crazy. And credit to him for sticking in there and performing when asked. So we hope he does it again. But yeah, we'll recap all the games, and then we'll do a little bit of a preview for and we'll recap Thursday night football next Saturday as well.
Yep.
We will preview during the week. Unfortunately, we can't head into the Radio Hub studios in the middle of the week, so the sound quality won't be as good, but the Pick the Lions podcast will preview and give you our betting advice for week
Content's
two.
Content's just as great.
Yes. Same content, just crap quality. All right. As always, you can follow me on Twitter at JYNFL. You
can follow me at Josh Woot.
You can follow us at Woot and Y. You can follow Radio Hub on Twitter at Radio Hub AU. We're on Facebook, Instagram. We're on Redbubble as well. Buy a shirt. And please, iTunes reviews, they help us, you know, climb the ranks.
If it's any kind of social media site, I'm sure we're on there somewhere.
Yeah. LinkedIn, Bebo. No. All right. Catch us next week.
All right,
go,
bye,
Jared.
Guys.